So open our Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Going to be covering verses 6 through 13, but I want to get a running going start at 4 to look at what we looked at last week and kind of get an intro into it. Notice in verse 4 it says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. And this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time.' And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Let's pray. Father, we live in the same days that Paul did, a time when there are many people that are opposing the word of God. They're opposing your word in the government. They're opposing your word in the schools. They're opposing your word even for those who call for you and want to hear the word of God, like Sergius Paulus. And Lord, we need to be those who are bold. We need to be those who don't back down. We need to be those who are filled with the Spirit, so when we face these Bar-Jesuses, these that are fighting against the gospel, Lord, that we can speak boldly and we can speak truthfully and we can speak with power. Lord, your word going forth in power, but us also walking in authority. Lord, even as we sang just a moment ago, walking in that authority. Lord, we need it in the days in which we live. We know your word says that in the last days, there's going to be greater and greater opposition against your word. And God, even in a nation like ours that has traditionally stood for your word in schools, in government, in everywhere, we have now turned away. And God, while I ask your forgiveness of that, Lord, I pray that you would give those of us who are still making a stand boldness. Lord, we hold the answers for our nation. And we hold the answers for this world in Jesus Christ. And there are going to be those around us who need to hear and want to hear. God, give us the boldness and the leading of your Holy Spirit to do it. Let us not be backed down by the Bar-Jesuses that surround us. But Lord, let us stand up, come what may, and speak boldly for the name of the true Jesus, Jesus the Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we look at this, guys, I've entitled this Interfering with the Gospel, because that really sums up what this is about today. Remember the setting. God had called Paul. God had called Barnabas. God had sent them out by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia Minor and all around the world preaching the gospel. And now they make a stop here at Cyprus. So we're going to see they run across this Bar-Jesus in Cyprus that you can be sure when God sends you somewhere to share the gospel that the enemy's going to be there waiting on you. Are you guys with me on that? There's going to be opposition. And anytime you try to introduce the word of God, or you're trying to introduce prayer, or you try to do something for the things of God, there's going to be opposition because the battle is raging and it's a spiritual battle. It's not just the people here on earth. We're the ones that are used, but this is a spiritual battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities, the Bible says, in heavenly places. And they are very well organized, and they're there waiting on us when we get there. The good news is the Lord is waiting on us as well. And the Lord is with us, and the Lord goes with us. And there are going to be those that interfere with the gospel, just like this Bar-Jesus guy. It's interesting to me that you can take something so good and you can try to introduce it to save people's lives, and there'd be so much opposition. It's just amazing to me. And yet that's what we see with the gospel, and that's what we're going to see today. Enemies of God, enemies of the truth. The saddest part is they're not satisfied with the fact that they have to be shut out of the kingdom. They want to try to take you with them. And they want to shut everyone else out of the kingdom that wants to come to the Lord. And that's the part that not only is sad, it's the part that's angering. And so we have to make a stand and say, you know what? No, this is the truth, and we have to stand on the truth. And we're going to, you know, again, pray today that God will give us the boldness to stand on the truth, because we're going to need it more than ever in the days in which we live. Maybe not necessarily calling down blindness on people, although there's some I'd like to do that to, and we'll get to that in a moment. But guys, being able to speak with authority and saying, look, this is the truth. It doesn't matter about us. It doesn't matter about what we believe or our opinion. It is what God says in the Word of God. And more than ever, this world needs it today, and it's going to get darker around us. We've got to learn to make a stand and to be bold in the things of the Lord. You know, it's one thing for us to reject the truth and the love of God, but it's entirely another thing to stop someone else from coming to Him. Jesus said this, guys, this verse has always been scary to me. I'm glad I'm standing on the right side of this. But to stand on the wrong side of this and have to face the Lord one day, listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 18:6. And this has a lot to do with this Bar-Jesus character we're going to see today. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Guys, this is the heavenly mafia. You ever seen a millstone? They're huge. Some millstones are as big as this pulpit. And they have a hole in the middle and they put a stick through and they grind up the grain with them. And all these millstones were all over Capernaum. If you go to Israel with us here in a year and a half, you're going to see these millstones. They've uncovered just myriads of them. Some of them are smaller, but even the small ones are huge. And the big ones are just enormous. And the Lord teaching up in that region when he said this, probably next to a millstone, he said, if you're causing somebody to stay away from the faith, this is the good news for you. Here's your good news. I'm giving them the good news of salvation. Your good news is you get one of these stones around your neck and thrown into the sea. That'll be the best thing that will ever happen to you. Wow. You know, we think about Jesus, right? Always being so gentle. He was man's man, and he was bold. And whenever it came to those that were trying to keep people out of the kingdom and keep them away from the gospel, he didn't pull any punches. He actually gave some. Now, maybe not literally, but verbally. And he did take the whip and drive them out of the court, didn't he? And it's interesting. You know, I read that verse and you think, yeah, well, he's talking about little children. And he is talking about little children. But did you know the Lord refers to us as children as well? Remember when he talked to his disciples? They're out in the boat after his resurrection. And he calls out to them from the shore, and what does he say? Children, have you caught anything? We are considered God's children as well. And what the Lord is saying is, if someone causes any of God's children or anyone that would be God's children to have a stumbling block in getting to the kingdom of God, I'll give them a stumbling block. I'll put it around their neck and throw them in the sea. And that's the good part, because after that comes eternal condemnation. Wow. Do you think this is a serious subject to the Lord, standing in the way of the gospel? Guys, this puts fear in my heart and chills down my spine when I see some of our officials in America, some of our leaders at the local level, the state level, the national level, making a stand against the Word of God and against prayer, making a stand against Israel, making a stand. When I see these things, these kind of scriptures come to my mind, and I think, you know what? God's going to deal with that. And it's not going to be pretty. Now, we hope that they repent, and that's the desire, but we have got to be bold in the face of that, and we've got to speak up. It's interesting, this Bar-Jesus was a Jewish man. I got this article I read yesterday. I've got to read this to you. Listen to this, headline I ran across. Group calls military Bibles a national security threat. I don't know about you guys, but Bibles are very scary. You know, you can just jump up and strangle you or hurt you or something could happen. One get caught on your throat maybe as you're reading it. I don't know. It's a dangerous item. We need to remove them from the hands of the people. Now, if I'm being a little sarcastic today, forgive me, because that's kind of the mood I'm in. This morning after I got started in first service, I had to stop and tell them, say, look, I'm not mad at you guys. I love you guys. I'm not mad at you guys. I get upset with the enemy. If you sense any sarcasm or any aggressiveness coming out in this morning, it's against the enemy. It's not even so much against mankind that rejects God. It's against the enemy that stirs mankind. It's against the enemy that's the liar and doing all this behind the scenes. That's the one I get upset with. And the Jews among all people should know better. Now, you know that I love the Jews. God put a supernatural love in my heart for the Jews when I came to Christ. I love the nation of Israel. We stand with the nation of Israel. But the Jews have been a stumbling block and stood in the way of people coming to Christ for many centuries. And that's, you know, when I read this article, you'll see why I say this. Again, it's just amazing to me because of all the people who should be leading people to Jesus Christ and all the people who should be preaching the truth of the Bible, it should be a Jewish person. They're the ones that God gave the Word of God to. They're the ones that God preserved it through. And to see them opposing it is crazy because this is a Jew here that's opposing this. That's why I give you, listen to this article. The U.S. military has revoked its approval of a series of military-themed Bibles, reportedly over trademark issues, but there's more behind it than that. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation. What a name. Isn't it amazing how they pick names that sound really good? Yeah, military religious freedom. No, it's military freedom from religion is what they're really promoting. Notice this, they're demanding that not just the Bibles that these guys put, but all remaining versions of Bibles be removed from the base exchanges, calling these Bibles a threat to national security. No, sir, you're the threat to national security. Jesus Christ is the answer for national security. And he's the one that, he's our only hope. You think we're going to get out of this economic crisis by our wits? You think we're going to get out of the dangers around the world with Iran now reported last week got their first nuclear weapon? It's been confirmed. You think now that we know these things are happening and all this is going on, you think that somehow we're going to get out of these world problems without Jesus? It's impossible. That's why he's got to come back and rescue us. My hope is that we come to our senses and cry out for some help before then, because he's willing to help now. And yes, he's going to straighten things out when he gets here. But anyway, they want this threat to national security removed. The military series of Bibles published by B&H Publishing, Lifeway Christian Resources, and Southern Baptist Convention, representing the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps. The Bibles are tailored to each specific military branch, but the Military Religious Freedom Foundation complained that the Bibles were an official endorsement by the U.S. military. They alleged that the Bibles not only violated the U.S. Constitution, excuse me, our Congress used to make Bibles and send them around the world for missionaries. Did you guys know that? Our Congress had Bibles printed. I wish they would spend tax money on that today. How about you guys? They're going to take it. I'll let them spend it on something worthwhile to save the world, right? And so the bottom line is that these people have no clue, so I'll calm down. But also violated Defense Department regulations. Listen to what he says, and I quote, "It totally savages one of the most basic Department of Defense regulations that exist," said spokesman for this group, Mikey Weinstein. I'm not picking on Mikey Weinstein, but when I read that Jewish name and studying this week about Bar Jesus, this Jew we're going to see that's opposing the spread of the gospel, I thought, Lord, how long will they be stubborn? I love them. And I love the nation of Israel. And I stand with them because God said to stand with them. God said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, those who bless Israel, I will bless. And those who curse Israel, I will curse. So guess where I'm standing? I want to be blessed. How about you guys? I'm standing with Israel. But they are a stiff-necked people, even as God has said throughout all the scripture, are they not? I am not trying to offend any Jew. I have great Jewish friends. I think people know my heart toward them. But when I read this stuff, it drives me crazy. I wish it said anybody but a Jewish person doing this. Because they should be the ones standing up and saying, stop it. God has proven his word is true. He gave it to us over the centuries. He passed it through us. We have the honor of holding it. We have the honor of passing it on. We have the honor now standing firm for it. And now this guy says it's a national security threat? My goodness. And maybe that's why I feel a little fiery. I didn't realize that till just now. Maybe the Lord's got me a little bit fiery in my spirit, because really this is where Paul was this morning. Paul's going to go there as a Jew. He's going to stand before this Gentile who wants to hear the gospel. And there's another Jew standing in the way saying, no, stop it. This isn't true. And Paul's going to say, you better just be quiet. And he's going to get those fiery little beady eyes that history says Paul had, you know. It's interesting that according to history, you know, they said Paul was a short little guy under 5 foot tall, beady eyes, a nose that was a crook nose, you know, and kind of bent over, had kind of a high squeaky voice. And I can just see him pointing that bony finger at Bar-Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, you know. I love it. This is where we take up today. After my tirade. They're out on the mission field. They're getting ready to go. And notice here in verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Now, there's several things to note here. Note, he called for them. He wasn't just like Paul and Barnabas rushing in to try to force the gospel. This is someone wanting to hear it, and this guy's going to stand in the way of it. Now, who is this Sergius Paulus? We don't know a lot about him, but we know he was a proconsul. Proconsuls were the rulers over regions that were appointed by the emperor. The emperor would appoint the ruler over that region. He was the proconsul or the ruler over the region there in Paphos, in Cyprus. The provinces were broken up into two different divisions back then. The Roman provinces, rather senatorial and imperial. Senatorial were governed by the proconsuls. So this is a senatorial, a very influential man in this position. This area, if you will, was governed by a proconsul, which was Sergius Paulus, this ruler, this leader in this area. We might say a governor, or maybe even higher, probably a senator, really would be a better explanation here, over this senatorial region. And there was also imperial. They were official emissaries of the emperor. They also called propraetor, if you will, but they had different divisions of different authorities. This guy was way up there. He was one of the main guys for the emperor ruling over this region, and he's calling. Can you imagine? It would be like today a senator calling up and saying, you know what, I'd like you to come and speak to me here in the Senate chamber and share about Jesus Christ. You know, I'd like to hear about Jesus Christ. Could you come to the Senate chamber? We've got our people here. I want you to come share. Listen, if we were to go do that, I guarantee a bar Jesus would jump up everywhere. So, excuse me, we can't be doing that here. We can't be pushing that on others. You believe that would happen? You better believe it. And so we know exactly what he's facing here. He's standing with a great Roman official here, trying to give the gospel. No doubt God used this to spread the gospel there in Cyprus and Paphos. And we know there was a strong church that was there on Cyprus. And no doubt Sergius Paulus had something to do with that, probably a great part of that. And so God is now leading a man with great authority in that region to be able to spread the gospel. And I can tell you, whenever there's going to be a great impact for the gospel, there's going to be great opposition. Guys, hear me on that again. Whenever there's going to be great impact for the gospel, there's going to be great opposition because Satan wants to kill you. And he wants to kill your family. And he wants to kill your friends. Aren't you glad God is our protector? God is the one that protects us. And so when you step out in the name of the Lord, I want you to be ready. There's going to be great opposition, especially depending on how great the work is. But God has promised the victory. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be casualties. It doesn't mean there's not going to be battle. It doesn't mean we're not going to be limping some, maybe limping a lot. But we've got to grab onto God with all we have and say, Lord, I'm doing this for you. I mean, what else? You know, we have two options really as believers. We can kind of just live through life, be quiet and mind our own business and kind of do okay, which I have to admit seems very appealing. Or we can say, all right, put on the armor. We're going to battle. But there's real bullets out there. Yeah, there are real bullets out there, real spiritual bullets, real spiritual bombs. Even as you have earthly warfare, you have spiritual warfare. And I'm telling you guys, it's not fun. And you, any of you that have walked with the Lord any length of time, you know it's not fun. But I would rather have one arm, one leg, and one eye left over fighting for the Lord than just lay down and give up. Because we've got one shot at this thing, one shot, and then it's forever in the kingdom. And then we can get in the kingdom and talk about our owies then. You know? All of our wounds probably won't even care. Notice this bar Jesus. First of all, notice what he says about him. He's a sorcerer. It literally means one who practices magical arts. We would compare this today to New Age Spiritism, to this Long Island medium lady or whatever, which is on some program. I've seen it advertised. And they show this smiley lady that's all friendly doing all these things or whatever. Listen, guys, the Bible says it's demonic. It's not of the Lord. You almost want to say, oh, you of all wickedness, daughter of the devil, how long will you quit perverting the ways of what true spiritualness is in God? And so the same thing is happening here. It's that same kind of, it looks like it's something that's attractive. As a matter of fact, no doubt, Sergius Paulus had this guy there with him, this Elymas, the sorcerer, had him there with him because he wanted some spiritual counsel. You know, what do I do? There's big decisions to be made. Give me your spiritual insight, you know. And so this guy would, you know, do whatever, wave something, do his magical arts or whatever. And this is the guy that he's got next to him. Now, Paul's got to come in and share the gospel in front of this guy. Secondly, notice it says he was a false prophet. That is, he prophesied, but it was by false deception. And guys, know this, even as God can speak to us, the enemy can speak to us as well. We've got to discern the difference in God's voice and the enemy's voice. And a lot of people that are deceived by the enemy, they're hearing the true voice. You know, just this past week, talking to somebody about people that have these mental issues and saying, you know, they hear voices. I know there are true mental issues and people that have hallucinations and all that. And I'm not saying that it's always demonic, but I will tell you this, sometimes it is. The voices are real. Because the demonic realm is there, and if we're in tune with the demonic realm, if we've opened up a door to the demonic realm, we're going to hear those voices. We're going to hear them speaking to us. And people like this Bar Jesus, they're ones that bring this stuff in. They're connected to the wrong realm, and so they do speak oftentimes of things that are truly spiritual, but it's not God's spirit. It's a demonic spirit. We have to be able to discern that and stick with the Word of God. And this is the one that gets me again. Thirdly, notice he was Jewish. He was a Jew. Again, how sad it is to me, the Jews above all people should be the ones standing for the Bible and the Word of God. And lastly, notice his name, Bar-Jesus. It gives an indication here of a child of Jesus, might be a translation of that. A son of Jesus, a male of Jesus, if you will. How ironic when he had a name that means a son of the Savior, so to speak, and that whole picture of what that meaning is, yet in reality, it's a son of the devil. And we've got people like that today, don't we? They call themselves believers, truly believe in the Lord, and yet they live for the enemy. Guys, this is something to be careful of, because I'm telling you, the Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. And as a pastor, I notice all these different articles and churches around the nation that call themselves churches, and they're standing for evil. They're standing for unrighteousness. They're inviting it in their doors, and they're lifting it up like it's a good thing. I read some article this week, major evangelical comes out and says homosexuality is good and should be welcomed and all this stuff. Guys, I'm not trying to pick on any particular sin, but if the church doesn't speak what's true, we're done. We've got to make a stand. It is not, God says it is not acceptable. God says sin is not acceptable, and those who are living in sin will not be accepted in the kingdom. We've got to face these Bar-Jesuses head on and say, you're a false prophet. You're leading God's children astray. Better for you a millstone hung around your neck than you preach this falseness and lead God's people astray. Be bold. Be courageous. Speak the truth. Lay it all, you know, leave it on the field for the Lord. Leave it on the field. That's what they say in sports, right? Leaving it on the court, you know? Leave it on the field for the Lord. Again, I talked to somebody after the service, and they're talking about different body parts breaking and all that. I'll never forget that whole statement that another pastor said one time. He said, I always knew I'd go to heaven, but I always thought it'd be at one time. I didn't think it'd be at a piece at a time, you know? And sometimes as believers, I think that's what it feels like. We're getting killed in different areas, and the enemy's just wiping us out. But you know what, guys? We have the victory. We have the victory, and we will end up receiving all that God has for us if we'll be faithful until the end and just continue the fight. So how do we know the difference in the real and the fake? Well, again, Paul, the same way Paul did, being led by the Holy Spirit and the fruit in their life. You know, anybody can say they're a Christian or they're doing the gospel work or whatever, but if they're fighting against the Lord and they're fighting against His word, they're not a Christian and they're not working for the gospel. They're fighting against it. And we can tell by the fruit. And so this is exactly what Paul is doing here. This very spiritual man was a sorcerer and a false prophet, but Paul recognizes it. And notice it says, but Elymas the sorcerer, now Paul's sharing all this, called in there to the proconsul, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Notice that was his goal. I want to turn you away from believing in Jesus Christ. How scary that is. Again, I go back to the millstone statement of the Lord. So he calls for them. He's desiring to hear. This guy's saying, I want to turn him away. And guys, that's exactly what many people are doing today. Listen, the whole push to get the word of God and prayer out of schools and to get the word of God and prayer out of government and out of, you know, anytime this recent thing, don't pray at the football games or whatever. It may seem like a small thing, but this whole push is the enemy trying to squelch the gospel, trying to squelch the word of God. And what I love about the gospel is you can't chain it up. You can chain up God's people. Paul spent a big part of his life in prison. But did the gospel get chained up? No, it goes right through those bars, doesn't it? There are no bars that can hold the gospel back. Not a bar Jesus, nor prison bars. Because the Lord's word will go out with power and authority, and God will do what he said he's going to do. Now, it's interesting here to see that Paul faced this kind of opposition with these guys, you know, this bar Jesus standing against him and fighting against him. And it's actually encouraging in a strange way because it shows us that although we're dealing with this, Paul dealt with the same thing. We're not the only ones having to deal with this kind of opposition. And so you're saying, yes, but we need boldness. And now, you know, it gets scary to stand up for the truth. You know, as everybody begins to stand against the things of God, we need to be the ones that are bold, because if we're not bold, nobody's going to be bold. But again, Satan uses the same tactics over and over in trying to squelch the gospel at government levels and everywhere else. And that's what this is, a squelching of the gospel at the government level with this proconsul, this Roman proconsul, Sergius Paulus. And Paul says, you know what? I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You know, wouldn't you love to have Paul around just for like 1 week up in Washington? Paul, welcome back. Let me catch you up real quick. Could you go in and speak to these guys for a second? I mean, everybody in Congress would be stumbling out blind and lame. I mean, it would be like crawling over chairs, you know, like, I can't see. Who was that guy, you know? Stop perverting the straight ways of the Lord. Stand for what's right. Be bold. Notice he says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, oh, full of all deceit and fraud. Now, again, before I even read this, remember that Paul, that short guy, that just kind of, you know, crook nose and that high voice and getting all upset and mad because here's a fellow Jew standing in the way of Jesus Christ. the one that came to save not only the Jews, but to save the Gentiles. And he sees one of his own, a man who should know better above all people, standing against it. Paul, now being filled with the Holy Spirit, notice, looks intently at him. And he said, "O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" I love it. Again, I'd love to have seen this, you know. But notice his confidence and his boldness to do this. Where did it come from? Because it says here that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And guys, if we're going to be confident and bold for the Lord, we're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the first time we see Saul called Paul in the scripture. And I believe there's a change happening here. There's a visual and spiritual change happening right here where Paul changes his name. God changes his name in the scripture from Saul over to Paul for a couple of reasons. He's going to not only give him brand new authority, because he's now going to be the leader, if you will, of this, of the church. But he's also going to give him a new name, which means small. Paul means small. It's time for him to be humble. "I'm going to use you in greater ways, Paul, but I have to humble you in order to use you in greater ways." And so we see him moving into this whole new realm here. I believe very symbolic of his new position and authority and the fact that he now is going to be small in his own eyes, but large in the eyes of the Lord and used in great ways. And so God, again, using him here. And again, notice that just laying it out there. He didn't hold anything back. He says, notice, he's not just partially, but he says, "You are full of all deceit and fraud. You son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Don't you wish you could just say that to some people right now? There's some people I'd love to say that to. "You full of all deceit and fraud. Stop perverting the ways of the Lord. Repent and speak the truth." And Paul gets to say it. Now, again, you better be called if you're going to say that. And you better be led by the Holy Spirit, especially if you're speaking to some government official or anyone else, because you could get into big trouble. But again, this was God leading Paul. Notice what he says about him. He doesn't just have a little bit of these things. He's full of these things. "You are full of deceit. You are full of lies. You are full of fraud. Although you have this spiritual persona, it's all fake." And next, notice what he says. He says, "You are a son of the devil and an enemy of righteousness." What a description. Now, again, Paul's not name calling. He's not just getting all fired up in the flesh and, and I'll tell you this. No, he's not doing that. He's fiery by the Spirit, but he's being led by the Spirit to speak the truth. He's exposing who this guy is in front of Sergius Paulus. He's confronting this guy about who he is so that he might even be able to repent. And he basically says, "You're perverting the straight ways of the Lord." He rebukes him in a strong way there. And again, that's exactly what many do today. They pervert the straight ways of the Lord. It's amazing to me how complicated some people can make the scripture. John 14:6. "No one goes to the Father except by me." Signed, Jesus Christ, right? Just read that to some people, and you know what they'll say? "That's your interpretation. I didn't even interpret it yet. I just read it. What is it that you're thinking it means?"
Well, it could mean a lot of things.
Or it could mean what it says, too. They pervert the straight and simple word of the Lord for their own purposes because they want to deny themselves and they want to deny anyone else they can from being a part of it as well. The cults are masters at this. They take the word of God and twist it. They quote it for their own purposes. Hence, they're led astray and they lead others astray as well. Paul didn't have anything to do with it. I love it. And notice what Paul says. "And now, indeed," verse 11, "the hand of the Lord is upon you." And this was not for a blessing. You know, God's hand can be upon us for blessing. God's hand can be upon us for cursing, can it? Depends on how we're living. This is now God's hand upon him for cursing. He says, God's hand. Again, he knew the Lord had told him this. He wouldn't just say this. He knew the Lord had told him, "The hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now, again, as I said, I wish I could do that, you know. "You're going to be blind for all." See, and I told you, you know. And for some people that oppose the gospel, because you get so upset with it, especially when it comes to stumbling children, you know, and not letting children hear the word of God. There's nothing that makes me more angry than that. And so Paul says, "The hand of the Lord will be upon you." I think there's a very interesting symbolic thing here as well. It's interesting to me to see Paul now starting in his new ministry as Paul, and he runs across this Jewish person who's opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ there in that region. And Paul says, "You know what? Because you have rejected, you're going to be blind for a season and not be able to see the truth." And that's exactly what the Bible says has happened to the nation of Israel as a whole. Now, there are saved Jews. Absolutely, there's a remnant. Praise God for that. But as a whole, the Jewish people do not believe in Jesus Christ. And even as this Jewish person here opposing the gospel had his eyes blinded where he couldn't see the sun for a while, God has also blinded the eyes of the Jewish nation where they can't see the sun, S-O-N, for a while. And the Bible says in the last days after the rapture, God's going to pour his spirit out on the nation of Israel, and they're going to be our brothers and sisters. Is that going to be awesome or what? Now, the bummer is they're going to come to the Lord after we're already in heaven. That's a bummer to me because I love them now, and I've got good friends over there now. But they're going to be our brothers and sisters forever in the kingdom. Again, I think there's a picture here the Lord is giving us of this rejection by this Jewish person in authority with someone who's in authority. And now we see Romans says the same thing is going to happen to the nation and has. And notice it says this, at that time, immediately a dark mist fell on him and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. What he must have been thinking, who knows? I wonder if he ever came to the Lord. It'd be kind of neat to get to heaven and see him up there, wouldn't it? You know? Man, I'll tell you, I didn't believe until this Paul guy showed up, you know, and he did that thing, but I'm a believer now, you know? Awesome. Gotta love it. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, but notice the explanation. Notice the further explanation it gives as to why he believed. Being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. It doesn't say he believed because he was astonished at the miracle that Paul had done. No doubt that did wow him. But he was astonished at what? The teaching of the Lord. Guys, here's the answer. Here's the answer. We're going to be running into more and more Bar-Jesuses as we head toward the last days. There are going to be people who openly oppose us preaching the gospel, even from the churches. Even from the churches, we're going to be attacked. It used to be that if we stayed within the church, you know, good little boys and girls, then they wouldn't bother us, right? They only got mad when we went out into the streets like we were supposed to, into all the world preaching the gospel and the good news. But now the pressure is going to begin, I believe, on the church, even within the doors. And I think I've already seen it beginning. And is already beginning. And the power to defeat that is going to be the Word of God. The churches that are teaching the Word of God and the churches and Christians who know the Word of God will stand. The churches who aren't teaching the Word of God and the believers who don't know the Word of God, they're going to fall. And that's going to be the difference. It depends on what we build our house on, sand or solid rock. I believe we're going to need to be built on solid rock more than ever. The Word of God. He was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. We need to teach the Word of God because that's where the power is. Jeremiah said this. He said, you know, anybody can have a dream or a vision. And that's good and all. If it's God, that's a good thing. If it's the Lord. He said this. But Jeremiah said this. He said, but the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Is that an awesome picture or what? We can have all the dreams and visions we want about breaking strongholds down, but it's going to be the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God and the straightforward power and non-perversion of the Word of God and the boldness to say it like it is when other people are going to say, you better be quiet, you're going to get in trouble. That's where the power is. That's the hammer that will break the rock. And that's what's going to lead people into the kingdom of God and set people free in these days in which we live. Astonished at his teaching. Again, not the miracles. In verse 13, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So John Mark, who had gone with them on this mission journey, now goes back to Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us the reason, whether he was afraid, whether he was just homesick, whether he was too immature to make it to the end. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the bottom line is the Bible does tell us later on. It made Paul really upset. Paul said, John Mark, you were supposed to be with us, helping us. You bolted on us. And you left, and now we're here. Well, this is Barnabas, his nephew. And later on, they're going to go out on a second missionary journey. And Paul's going to say, I don't trust John Mark. He bolted on me last time. I'm not going to take him with me this time. He can't go. And so he and Barnabas get in this heated discussion. The Bible says it became so heated, they divided and couldn't even do ministry together anymore. And guys, there are times when things can become so contentious that even godly people can't do ministry together anymore. I've seen that throughout the ministry. But the cool thing is that if we'll humble ourselves and keep our hearts soft, God can still restore even that. It may take some time down the road, But God can restore it because, again, we see later on in 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 through 11, Paul speaking about John Mark. You know, there's this great contention and great separation, but he says later on, he says to Timothy, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. And notice what he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Isn't that great? It's like Mark's matured. He's grown now. He's ready. Bring Mark. I can use him for the ministry. I'm sure that Mark was like, you better believe I'll go. I'd love to serve alongside Paul. He probably was regretting greatly for many years that he ran off and left Paul. Can you imagine being in heaven saying, who's your, you ever do missions? Yeah, I did some missions once. You know, I mean, I did quite a few missions throughout my life. Really? What was your first mission trip? Well, my first mission trip didn't go so well. Well, what happened? Who'd you go with? Paul. Paul is in Paul the Apostle. Yes. What happened? Well, I went home. I didn't think it was going good. I'm not picking on John Mark, but I'd hate to have that, you know, forever in heaven. And like I said, I at least made it, you know. And guys, where does this leave us? Look, here's what I want to end us with today. Yes, I'm a little bit passionate this morning because I read some of these articles and I see what some of our officials are doing. And I see people that not only don't want the word of God for themselves, they fight against it for you guys. They fight against it for our children receiving it. And that is very upsetting. It upsets the Lord. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that would get us upset because he's upset. So what do? Well, we don't go around calling down curses and asking everybody to be blind. That was a rare moment and something God moved in Paul's spirit by the Spirit. Guys, most of our confrontation is going to be what I'll call gently firm. We come in gentleness, but we're firm. Here's what the Word of God says. The Bible says this, and we use the Word of God. We use the rock that breaks the hammer, or rather the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And we preach the gospel boldly. There's going to be a lot more bar Jesuses. Again, people that are going to be openly opposing the gospel. And again, not just for themselves. They don't want you to read it. They don't want you to hear it. They don't want our kids. They don't want the next generation to hear it. And I'm not talking about being rebelliously defiant. I'm talking about making a righteous stand. Going into all the world preaching the gospel. Not being afraid of the bar Jesuses, even if they're the buddy of Sergius Paulus. Saying, you know what? Do you want to hear the gospel? Yes. Then here's what the Bible says. We don't force it down anyone's throat, but we need to pray that God will leave the door open to preach the gospel. And I believe as we get more and more into the last days, guys, we're going to have to get less and less of the Word of God because the Antichrist and the world we're going to be living in is not going to tolerate it. But until we're out of here, we stand firm. You know, the Bible talks about a famine in the land for the Word of God. He warns of a famine. He says, but it's not a famine for food. It's a famine for the Word of God. I feel like that there's a famine blowing over our nation for the Word of God. And we've got to bring it back. It's time to share the Word of God boldly. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of it. If you have a bar Jesus at work, you know, don't call down fire and ask him to be blind. I'm not saying to do that. But just say, listen, here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus said. This is what the Word says, especially if they're causing others to stumble. And we need boldness to do that. You know, we also need the Holy Spirit, because that's where the boldness comes from. So what I want to end today with, guys, is us asking the Holy Spirit to fill us, to give us boldness for the bar Jesus is that we're going to be running into, and to make a bold stand led by the Spirit. You know, not walking out being miniature prophets and calling people names and calling down fire. That's not what today was about. But being bold and saying, you know what? Jesus is the answer. And here's what his Word says. If you've not been filled with the Spirit, I want you to pray to be filled with the Spirit today. Because the Bible says that's where your boldness comes from, being filled with the Spirit. And guys, you need to do it every day. Every day. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Bible says be continually being filled. Ephesians 5:18. Be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. It means on a regular basis. And so we're going to do it again this morning so God can give us boldness. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you, God, for the fire you put in Paul's heart. And I thank you, Lord God, for the fire that you put in our hearts when it comes to speaking the truth and speaking it in love. God, we don't want to be obnoxious and we don't want to be rude and we don't want to think we're miniature John the Baptist and Paul the Apostles calling down fire or blindness on people that oppose your word. Lord, if they didn't want you, you didn't make them receive you. But God, when there are those who are standing in the way of our little ones hearing the word of God and those that are standing in the way and opposing those who want to hear the Bible, there's a much different approach that you take. And it's very firm and it's very harsh. We need boldness in the days in which we live, Lord. Yes, we need gentleness. Yes, we need love. Yes, we need grace. All those things have to be there. But God, let us be men and women who stand firm on your word, who know your word, and God, who are filled with the Spirit. And God, I pray right now, if there's anybody here that needs to be filled with the Spirit, or that you begin to work, and I want to just say this, before you even ask God to fill you with your Spirit, if there's any sin you've got right now in your life that's keeping you from the Lord, anything that's keeping you separate, something you know is wrong, you need to confess it right now, because I believe that hinders the work of the Spirit in your life. It grieves His Spirit. So ask His forgiveness right now. For those of you that want to receive a filling of the Spirit, begin to ask forgiveness right now as I'm praying. If anything you know you need to confess, to make sure your heart is right before the Lord. Father, you hear the prayers around the room. You know those that are truly crying out and being sincere right now. And Lord, I just pray that right now, that you begin to pour out your Spirit. And I want you to pray it. I'm not going to walk you through a prayer. Begin to pray right now. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come upon me, Lord, and fill me. I need your power and your leading. Begin to pray that right now on your own. You ask him to do it. If you want that in your life. And Father, I just agree with these prayers right now, God. I pray that you would pour out your Spirit, Lord God. Raise up a strong church in the last days. Lord, you said when you return, will you find any faith? God, I pray you find great faith in Calvary Chapel. And I pray you find great faith in all the churches of Knoxville. And I pray you find great faith in America and would restore us as a nation back to you. And God, those that you need to remove that are holding things back, remove them. Those that you need to put in position, put in position. But have mercy on us as a nation. Have mercy on us as a church. Send revival. Send your Spirit. And God, let it begin this morning with us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Let us not be afraid of the battle, but Lord, let us give it all and leave it all on the field, the battlefield that is for you. Fill us, Lord, and use us for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.